I want to look at today a foundation of multiplication. A foundation of multiplication. And right there, let's stop and pray. God, we welcome your presence even more so into this place. Lord, we thank you for your peace. We thank you for your comfort. We thank you for how amazing you are, God. But we also welcome your presence that changes us. Your presence that maybe even convicts us. Your presence that spurs us on to do amazing things in Christ that we have not yet done. Lord, we ask that even right now would be the start of us being used for your glory more than ever before, God. And the prayers of the saints before us would take hold. That now would be the time, God, that we would rise up in unity as one church with one voice in all boldness and declare that we want this to be the time. And we ask all this in your holy name, Jesus. Amen. And God, I also pray that no one's offended today. Amen. I heard an amen over here. So at least two of us. But the church is meant to multiply. The church is meant to multiply. Yet church attendance on the whole in America is in a lot of places declining. Churches are closing faster than they're opening. And I want to ask us this, how do we fix that? And an even more important question, do we want to fix it? Are we active in wanting to fix that? And how does it make you feel? Is that just another piece of news? We get so many pieces of news coming at us all the time. Especially, I'll admit to you as a pastor, we get so many pieces of news coming at us. So many people in need of prayer. And we want to reach everyone and help everyone. But there's so much happening. Are our hearts sensitive to what God is doing and wants to do right now? Is your heart sensitive? Does it break our heart knowing that we can reach the lost and we can disciple more people than we're doing right now? We can. I want that to break my heart, but I also want it to encourage me that God wants to use me and God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Church, we have everything we need to see this whole valley affected. Can I have an amen? All right, I'm going to release you again. I usually do this. Release you. You can amen me as much as you want. I know you've been holding it back, trying to be respectful. Amen. But we can see this whole valley affected, and we have everything we need if we choose to walk in it. Church, you are a powerhouse, and let me tell you why. Because the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Oh, that was a great place to amen, right? The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Man, I need an organist in the background. I want to ask you today, what might be holding you back? What might be holding you back from being the person God created you to be? The person God created you to be. And I pray that God reveals that to all of us this morning. What could be holding me back? I want to look at an acronym for LIFE this morning. L-I-F-E. LIFE. And this is a topical message because it's an announcement. It's an announcement to our whole church on what we are doing to reach this valley. And it's a call for all of us to hop on board. Amen? Amen. Awesome. I will let you know later what you just committed to. But one of our pastor's sayings that he loves, I've heard him preach I don't know how many times. But it's out of Jonah, and it's from the greatest to the least. You've probably heard him say that, from the greatest to the least. So here's a question. Do you believe it in your heart that God can save Wasilla in this valley even from the greatest to the least. From the greatest to the least. I'm going to ask you this. Do you pray that way? Are you discipling that way? And do you live that way? Let's look at what we're going to do to see this valley saved. This is how we're going to do it. The first letter in the word life is L, and that's because you have to live like Christ. Live like Christ. I know that probably sounds pretty basic. You probably could have guessed that one, but church, are you doing it? Are we doing it? Are we living like Christ? Do the people around you and even your family know? Do they know that when push comes to shove and they're looking for something or just in need of something, that somehow you hold the answer? They don't even know it. But it's because you live like Christ. I'm reminded of a time in my past when I was working down south as a valet. I got to drive some really cool cars. But there's a lot of guys that have that job because they want to do just that. They want to drive really cool cars. And on my team were a lot of people, some guys that were other Christians, and there were some other guys from different religions. And I remember very distinctly that there were two guys that were Muslim faith. And one thing that I respect about that faith is they're often very diligent and very staunch in what they believe, and they will stand by it. A thing that I think Christians could learn. But these two men, I worked with them for probably 2 years. And in that span of time, both of them ended up asking me about the Bible because they told me this at different times. They said, there's a lot of guys here that come and go, and a lot of them say that they are Christians, but you are different. I wasn't a pastor or anything at that time. I was just another guy. But I lived in a different way that they noticed and they respected. And before I left there, one even asked to go to church with me. Because of the way I lived. And that's nothing special about me, believe me. That's just because I really want to love God. And that should come out in everything that I do, in every way that I live. So, church, how are you living? Do you live like Christ? How do we respond to other people? Are we honest in everything we do? Are we able to hold our temper? Do we keep our word? Are we hospitable? Are we caring? Are we forgiving? There's more, but watch this. John 15:5 says this, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. How much time do we spend with the Lord? I'll tell you, I'm not a lot alike anyone that I don't spend time with. We have to spend time with the Lord. The word abide means to continue in, to stay in. And in this context of a vine and branches, is to get everything, not just what we think we need, from the vine. But you grow in the likeness of the vine. Watch this. The fruit of the branch is the fruit of the vine. I'm going to say that again because I want you to ponder on that. The fruit of the branch, that's me and you, is the fruit of the vine. The vine is Jesus. So the fruit that Jesus is pushing out comes through you and I, and it should look exactly like the fruit of Jesus. What does my fruit look like? What does your fruit look like? Are we seeing people saved and discipled and changed? Watch this. Even if you're praying that way, prayer is not enough. Prayer is a thing we should do. It's biblical. We should do it all the time, it says. But if we don't have action with our prayers, prayer is not enough. How much fruit do we have? Because the branch is not limited by the vine. There is no limit in Jesus. There's only a limit in me and what I choose to be used or not. 2 Peter 1:3 says this, we have everything we need pertaining to life and godliness. Church, you have everything you need. Amen? It's getting quieter in here. But if we aren't seeing fruit, then I need to change. We need to change. We need to look at our own lives and make sure we're in a place of growth that we can bear fruit. And that's a heart change. That's not usually a location change. Because in you, through Jesus, is everything it takes to change this valley. Don't let that hurt you. Let that inspire you. That this valley can be changed by you. By you. I could point at each and every one of you and say, you can make a huge impact on this entire valley. And who knows? You might be the one to do it. Any of you. God wants to use all of us. We just have to be willing to step out and try. Because church, it's too easy to sit back and expect people to come into our doors. I'm going to be honest, that time is past. We are the vessels that carry Christ to the world. You are the vessel that carries Christ, Jesus. That Jesus we were thanking just a moment ago. That Jesus we were celebrating, you carry him inside of you. You carry him wherever you go. You're going to be Jesus to somebody. And that's a great thing. But it's on each and every one of us to see this whole valley saved. God is doing the work. He chooses to use us. So here's a question. A question that my wife and I have been just asking each other. Because we need to ask each other this. Do you love Wasilla? And I'm not talking about the place, because we have some fun things to do here. You love Wasilla? Yeah. Do you love the people of Wasilla? Do you love the people of Wasilla? And if you don't, or if you don't know, I'm asking you to start praying that you will. Pray that you love these people. For as long as God has you here, be here. Be here on mission. You are here for a reason. If you're here for another week or the rest of your life, be here. Save this valley. I'm going to say that again. Save this valley. This is where you live. This is your mission. This is my mission. For as long as we're both here, this valley can be saved. And church, I want to be used to make that happen. Do you? What if now is that time? Pray that it is. You know, I heard a pastor that, of course, had vacation days for, you know, he had a month of vacation or whatever. And he decided to use those a couple days at a time, you know, every weekend for the rest of the year. There is always more things to do than what God has called us to do. There are always reasons to not pick up what God wants you to pick up. But church, we can see a valley saved. We can see a valley saved. If it happened once, it can happen again. Do you want to have a heart to see Wasilla saved? Do you want to have a heart that breaks for the people of Wasilla? Then pray that you do. And God will give you that heart. And I'll tell you this. When we all have one heart and one mind to see this valley saved, there is nothing that can stop us. There is nothing that could stop this church. That's the heart of God. Whew. That's exciting. We'll get into a little bit more of that in a moment. But we're looking at that word life. To live like Christ, you then have to be instructed. It's the second letter, L-I-F-E, instruct, grow, be accountable. We have to put ourselves in a place of growth. A part of growth is submission to Christ, but also to his church, to the authority God puts in your life. Are we pursuing growth? Are we looking for a mentor figure, spiritual fathers and mothers to pour into us? I'll be the first to say, a lot of us don't because we don't like to be told what to do. Anybody else that way? That's kind of hard sometimes. And it's not easy to change. You know, I had heard it my whole life, and now I'm experiencing it. The older you get, the less you like to change. Some things are just nice. It's fine. It's done. It doesn't need to be changed. Amen? But God keeps working on us our whole lives. You know, growth requires hard things. Growth requires hard things. Because watch this. Plants have to toil through soil. They have to dig down so they can sprout up. And that's what God wants to do with us. Some of us are digging down deep, and that's not usually seen. I might not know everything you're going through, but God's working on you, and he wants you to dig down deep because he wants you to grow up high. It makes you strong. A healthy plant has a solid root system because it stays planted where it is. And it's coming under the authority of the gardeners that have been placed in its life, and it's choosing to pursue that living water, that sunlight, because it wants to be able to bless others with its shade, protection, and fruit. Psalm 1 says this, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight shall be in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates both day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water that brings forth fruit in its due season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." We see here again that thought of fruit, because in our lives there should be fruit. And when we grow, if we're growing right, we can't help but produce fruit. Now in this verse we see a river of water. Some translations say living water, and that river is of course the Lord. We're planted and digging deeper into the Lord. And our roots toil through anything, through rocks and clay and mud, whatever it takes to get closer to the Lord. And sometimes, you know, those rocks and those that clay, that mud, that could be different things in our lives. That could be time. That could be faith. That could be idols in our life, priorities, different things that we need to toil through and work through to make sure we're tapped into Jesus. Are you tapped into Jesus, church? But notice this verse describes a person who loves and delights in the Word of God. I remember a time, and I want this to be my heart today, but I remember a time where I graduated from high school, I went off to college, and I just decided that I was going to go all out and pursue the Lord with everything I had. And I was spending like every extra waking moment in the presence of the Lord. I did that for like a year. And I realized that when I went on like a 3-day, maybe it was just a 2-day trip with some friends and stuff, I had forgotten my Bible. And when that realization came over me, like I actually just began to cry. And that's not an unmanly thing to do, I'll tell you that. But my spirit had connected with the Word of God so much that I couldn't imagine living without it. And I want to be in that place always. I know it's hard because life is hard. It's difficult. Time is a precious thing. We only get so much of it. What are the most important things that you're using it on? Are you spending time in the Word of God? That thing that will change you, change your priorities. You know, I'm often reminded of a story that I'm pretty sure is true. Pretty sure, 99% confident. But it's of a man that said, you know, he was asked, like, how are you going to get so many things done today? Like, you have this huge agenda. And he just said, well, it looks like I'll probably just have to spend more time in the presence of the Lord to be able to get this done. And I always knew that in theory, right? We know these a lot of these things in theory. If you've been at church, you know a lot of that in theory. But when it comes to working it out, it can be a little bit more difficult. Those worries set in of like, well, if I spend that extra 5 minutes with the Lord, then I'll have less time to do it. And I was sharing with the staff the other day, I've been a worship leader for quite a number of years now. And I know it's notice a stark difference in the time where I just decide to spend in the Lord and let him give me what he wants for that week, as opposed to just me pushing it through. Church, I have spent hours trying to come up with songs for our services, as opposed to when I just spend time with the Lord. He sometimes has given me that in 5 minutes. And I, of course, have to practice that and plan it out and everything. But that's how he works. If you give your time to him, he'll give it back even more. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Psalms 1 said, blessed is this person who delights in the Lord. Whatever they did prospered. They were fruitful with and in their lives. It's letting us know that when we grow, when we pursue God, we can't help but be blessed. And this is not a blessing, everyone has to be rich type message. We're not a church like that whatsoever. But what this is just a biblical truth. When you spend time with the Lord, his blessings come, they rub off. They just come at you in ways that you don't even know sometimes. And I think a lot of us could share stories in that, but we're going to keep moving on. So we have to live like Christ. We have to be instructed by him to grow in our knowledge and resulting of just being blessed in this way. But growth often and, well, I'd say always, requires accountability. Requires accountability. And the third letter in our word for life today is fellowship. Fellowship. We have to live like Christ. We have to be instructed and grow. We have to have fellowship with other believers. Fellowship, friendship, relationship. Church, watch this. The easiest way to not grow is to not have fellowship with other believers. It's the easiest way. People were created for relationship. Even Adam, the first person God created, he needed somebody in his life, so God created Eve. He needed relationship. You and I need relationship. We need it. We were created for relationship. All the gifts you've been given, your wonderful personality traits, and how hilarious you think you are, God put in you to bless other people. To bless other people. God wants to work through you, and he already planned that out by making you who you are. I guarantee you, at least one other person on this planet will like you. Guarantee. And you know what? I don't think it's only one. But even if it was just only one, that's probably a person that maybe wouldn't like me. Maybe you're the only person that could reach them. But we won't be able to live like Christ or grow in our faith without people. How many of you know it's easy to say you're patient when you're never tested in it? I can be a lot of things. I could be a rocket scientist. Don't get in a rocket that I made. Amen in the back. You know, or that It's easy to say things that you've just never been tested in. You know, it's easy to say I'm patient, but if I've never been up with a screaming child through the night and someone comes up to me in the morning and tells me that I need to do something that I don't think is good, like, and you want to lay hands on that person in a loving way. Then you can say you are a patient person. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12 says this, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion, but woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm, but how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. We are better together. It's probably a slogan somewhere. We are better together. This verse is saying we need each other. It's really easy to get in a mode where we don't need each other. And I'll tell you this, Alaska, it's both a positive and negative trait. We're very resilient people. We will make things happen. And we will do it in the rain, the snow, the ice, and we will even do it when it's very hot. But sometimes we lack the ability to ask for help. In church, that's not a healthy thing. I'll tell you why, because it's obviously easier to do things with help. But it's also, watch this, you're not allowing someone to be used in their gifting when you don't ask for help. That might be a huge blessing to somebody else, them being able to help you. And you being able to help them, that's a family. You know, it's pretty easy to call my literal family when I need help. The other day, I was sick. I think I told you that a while ago. What did I do? My wife was making dinner and had the kids. I called my mom. I was like, Mom, I just want you to bring me some bread and some, I think, was it candy? I wanted some candy. Amen. I told you I was a baby when I was sick. Those are the two things I wanted. So she called my dad, and he came over with some bread, some candy, some popsicles, some other stuff. Like, family's great. Church, that's what our church is meant to be like. That's what a small group of people that love each other is meant to be like. So this verse is saying that we need each other. When life throws something at you, you want someone in your corner. When something or someone is attacking you, you don't have to do it alone. That's what brothers and sisters are for. So you want to have that family member that you know that might not always be safe, but if you told them, they would probably literally attack someone for you. My wife is like that. You got to be careful what you tell her. But we're all in need of each other, in each other's gifts. You know, a few years ago, to put this example, someone was viciously trying to attack some of our church leadership and pinpointed on me. And it was a rough time, a rough season, but a beautiful thing that I learned inside of that was that our church came around me. Our leadership and specific people, and just protected me. Do you have that in your life? People that love you enough to protect you and fight for you when you can't. Because sometimes we get so tired or weary that we just can't fight anymore. But you have that companion that comes alongside. Maybe they lift you up. Or maybe they just tell you that they would love to punch someone in the face and that makes you feel better. You've been there. But we need people in our lives to stand with us. Church, you're not alone. You're not alone. Romans 12:15 says this, "Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, be of the same mind toward one another." We need to be close enough to people to love them in the good and the bad times. And not just be with someone, but to love them. To love that person in such a way that when they see a success, you legitimately have success with them. You are excited about what God has given to them. And the opposite way, when they are in a struggle, it's like you are in a struggle alongside them. That you go on your knees and start praying that God would move on their behalf. A pastor can't be everywhere all the time, but where he can't be, you can be. And that's the church. This verse says to be of one mind, the same mind. So that's everyone, everywhere, in every instance. That is being the church. And we are blessed for it. Because church, watch this. One of the biggest blessings in your life is actually just relationships with other people. Watching people go through life, seeing their successes, seeing a young couple get married, that's a success. That's a blessing. Watching people get trained to use their gifts in a local church, in a local area, that's a success. And then watching people go through hard times in hospitals or finances, and you walk with them through it until they see their next success. I'm not talking about being best friends with 250 people in this room. I couldn't do that. I'll tell you right now. That's hard. I'm talking about deciding to be a part of a smaller group that chooses to be there for one another, to grow together, to love each other. We have a mission as Christians, that's to help seek, to help save the lost, like Christ, to grow, to help others to grow, to be instructed, to do this through relationships with other people, fellowship, friendship, because it's all pointing to this last and final letter in that word life, everyone. Everyone. We want everyone to have the opportunity to be saved. Everyone. We must multiply. We believe in and are biblically built on a foundation of multiplication. A foundation of multiplication. What that means is that at our base, we intend to multiply. That is a New Testament church. That is this church. Amen? If you don't believe it yet, jump in and make it happen. The foundation of multiplication. We must multiply. If we aren't trying to multiply, we aren't being obedient to Christ. The days of people walking into a church and getting saved, for the most part, are gone. We no longer have that in our society, that background of Christianity. Many people, amazingly enough, have not even really heard about Jesus. They might have heard his name as a curse word, but they haven't actually heard the gospel. They haven't heard the good news of Jesus. The good news of Jesus. It is up to us. It is up to us. Acts 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord and in one place. We see here that phrase "in one accord." They were all in agreement. They're all in unity. And that's important because in Psalms 133, it says this, that how much the Lord loves when his people dwell together in unity. Okay? It is like the oil of the Lord, which symbolizes the Holy Spirit being poured down. It's just a great image there of being poured on his head, and it's dripping down his beard and just all the way down. So watch this. Watch this. Watch how these correlate. This is amazing. In Acts 2, the people are dwelling together. They are doing life together. And they were seeking after the Holy Spirit. And when they dwell together, they seek the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit moves. They label it the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost. Now, when the Holy Spirit moves, you see a direct correlation in this setting with people getting saved. Okay, and I'm building this up, so follow me closely on this. We see the people coming together in a group, in unity. That's one heart and one mind. They're praying, the Holy Spirit moves. The Holy Spirit does move. 3,000 people get saved. And then what? Acts 2, 46, 47. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Daily. He added to the church daily. I want us to remember that 80% of this valley is unsaved. We've got a huge harvest to bring in. But this New Testament church started a cycle, and I want you to pick up on it. They met in large groups in the temple and things, and then they daily met from house to house. So they met in a group, the Spirit falls, people get saved, they multiply the groups, and then what? They started again. They're in new groups. They pray for the Holy Spirit to move. The Spirit moves. People get saved. They multiply the groups. We are born to multiply. We are born to multiply. And I love that phrase, the Lord added to the church daily. But watch this, church. Watch this. If we want to see the Lord add to the church daily, we have to be the church daily. And I'm stepping on my toes. We can't expect to grow as Christians or as a church if all we're committing to is a Sunday morning. And I don't want to offend anybody at all. Like I was almost in tears praying that this morning. God, like for your sake, I don't want to offend anybody. Please let there be someone here next week when Pastor comes back. At least a couple. Teen Challenge and our staff will be here. But you know, when I'm thinking about this, two of my favorite people in the Bible, Daniel and David, I see that they really sought after the Lord. And I feel like the New Testament church was very much like that. That in the morning, they were just obsessed with the Lord. They started their day spending time with him. You know, it says that they spent three times a day with him. But I don't think that's just a number that they put out there. I think that just symbolizes their heart for God. That they started their day off with the Lord. And they couldn't just not come back to him. So in the middle of the day, they had some extra time and they spent it with the Lord. And at the end of the day, they were just excited to be with the Lord. And I want that to be my heart. I want that to be your heart. Because those are the people that affect nations. There is never a better time than right now. And what if now is that time? What if today is that day that God decides these people are ready because they are pursuing me, and I'm going to change the valley? Church, it could be today. It could be today. We have a special connection with Palmer at Matanuska Assembly. Our pastor is there right now. What if today's the day that every church in the valley begins to be just in excitement, eagerly waiting? What if today is that day? Church, the only thing that is holding it back in my feeling is us just choosing that. Because I firmly believe that even if just the people that are here right now decided, let's do this thing, this whole valley would be saved. This whole valley could be saved. Church, do you believe it? Yeah. I believe it too. But we're taking these examples that we see in Acts, and we are making sure that we're applying them in our church. And God is choosing all of us to do this. And the way our church has decided to do this, and some of the training we were going through yesterday, is that we firmly believe that through our life groups, God can and will multiply not just our church, but he can multiply Christianity in this valley. So I want to take you back to what that Acts 2 example looked like. That when a group of people pursue God wholeheartedly, God always responds with, "Here I am." And when he comes on that group of people and they say yes, that almost always results in a move of God. And in a move of God, people get saved. And when people get saved, they have to be discipled. And so that small group runs out of space, and they multiply. And it's sometimes hard to do that because we love our small group so much, our life group. But it's also one of the greatest joys we can experience because we're literally seeing the kingdom of God ushered into this valley. We're seeing it. We're being a part of it by a simple choice to pursue God wholeheartedly and say, what if today is that day? Well, then I'm not going to miss out on it. I'm going to say I was at the center. I was at the foundation of that thing happening. Church, the prayers that are over this valley, the words, the prophetic words over this valley, they're all there. They are there. They have been for 70 years, probably more. What if today is the day that starts? And what if you are the one it starts with? You. I believe it could be you. It could be you, because church, I desperately want it to be me. I want it to be me. And that's not a selfish thing. I want to be used by God. That's been a prayer of mine since I don't know how long. And I was taught that through my parents and things. Be sure you're teaching your children by the example that you live, that you want to be used by God. Because that is the most important thing that you could ever do. Skipping some of my notes. Man, this is the first time I've gone over. A foundation of multiplication begins and ends with our decision to just be the church. I'm going to go ahead and ask the worship team to come forward. It's already noon. But as soon as the service is over, there's going to be a table out in the foyer. I'm going to ask you to think about it, to pray about signing up for our life groups. Tom and Lila will be out there, and they'll gladly meet you. It's not signing your life away. It's a 14-week commitment, just a semester. and it ends with a party. But this is an opportunity to see the Bible in action. We have so many great testimonies from last year. People getting healed in their life group. People drawing closer to one another. People deciding to actually commit to going to church because of their life group. So many different things that I want you to have the opportunity for. There's nothing like it. I'm also asking or letting you know that there is a really great opportunity to actually host one of these groups. You can have the opportunity, and hosting isn't necessarily leading. Most of these groups have a host and a leader, so that the burden isn't on just you and your family. But sign up to host a group with the intention to multiply. I'm a competitive person, so in my heart, I want to be the first to do it. And I want to do it more than anybody else. I feel like maybe that's the heart of God sometimes. I want to do it. I want to do it big. I want to do it first. Because God's going to receive a lot of glory from it. People are going to get saved. People are going to be discipled. And I'm going to be used by the Lord. Church, do you want that? Do you want to be used by the Lord in that way? Do you want to see this valley saved? I'm going to do a short altar call this morning. And first of all, of course, if you don't know Jesus, you are missing out, but it's not too late. It doesn't matter what you've done. You can come and surrender your life to Jesus, the Master, the Savior, and it's worth it. It's not always easy, but it's worth more than anything else. So if you need Jesus, I want to ask you to come down to the front. Or if you have another prayer need, you need a miracle in your life, we are a church that believes that God heals today. We're not going to deny his power. Or any other need this morning, come down to the front and we will pray with you if you need prayer. But along with that, this is the last thing I want to think about. What might be hindering you from stepping into that what if God uses me to save this valley? Sometimes we need to let go of some stuff because some things can even hinder us from being able to be used. And I want you just to think for a moment if there's something in your life that you need to get out. That could be a number of things. That could be bitterness that you're harboring towards somebody. That could be offense that you just have not let go of. That could be selfishness or idolatry, something that you realize you have been putting in front of God. It could be fear that has overwhelmed you of the what could happens or maybe of the what did happen. Whatever it is, let's get right with the Lord so we can save this valley. And so that the what if could be today. Are you with me on that? Yeah. I ask you to stand up. If you need prayer, please come forward. We're just gonna sing one more worship song and really just give our hearts all out to God. And before you leave here today, I ask that you think about signing up to be a part of a life group and changing this valley with me. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We look forward to connecting with you next time. And don't forget, you can support us by giving through the Church Center app or by going online at summitwc.com/give.